My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Patricia's son teaches that all life is interconnected, and true empowerment comes from recognizing and acting from this awareness. She encourages individuals to move beyond feelings of powerlessness by reclaiming their authority and trusting their inner wisdom. She sees current global challenges as indicators of an evolutionary leap in consciousness, urging us, however difficult it might be, to shift our perception and embrace change as an opportunity for growth. Healing, according to Sun, involves breaking cycles of fear and hurt by making conscious choices and connecting to one's own power and intuition. Join us as we explore the integration of intuitive and rational thinking, also known as right brain, left brain thinking, with our guest, Patricia Sun. Patricia Sun graduated as a Phi Beta Kappa in 3.5 years from the University of California, Berkeley, with 2 degrees, one in social sciences and psychology, and the other in conservation and natural resources. She began her work as a family counselor, and today her work concentrates directly on creative solutions, recreating thought patterns, and re-perceiving experience. She's considered to be a teacher's teacher and leads workshops and gives private consultations. So please join us for the next hour as we explore the opportunities and cautions that 2025 brings to us with our guest, Patricia Sun. I'm speaking with Patricia at her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Patricia, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Justine. My joy and pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it is. I am so happy. We have been talking with one another for 50 years.
50.
I remember explicitly the first time I met you and you came on the program, I mean, I think 1973 or 1974, and it was incredible. So first of all, in my introduction, I mentioned, you know, right brain, left brain thinking. And I know when I first heard about this in the first place was from you. So explain to us what you mean by integrating right brain, left brain.
Right. I definitely pioneered that idea. We always knew beforehand that we had a bicameral brain, that we had two parts to our brain. But our modern medicine really didn't know what the right brain did. It knew what the left brain did. It was logical, linear, talked, verbal, cause and effect. And it didn't really value the right brain because it really didn't know what it did. And I remember once on a PBS show about some person who had a tumor, and the doctor says to the patient, "Fortunately, you have a tumor on the side of the brain where it doesn't matter." And that was their interpretation at that time of what the right brain was. It was like the appendix or something. You didn't need it. They did not know what it did. And they still had a lot of trouble, as does all of humanity, really embracing the awesomeness of the right brain. You know, one of the best people who talked about that was Einstein. He said, you know, we've made, in our thinking, we've made logic the master and intuition the servant. He said, it's the other way around. Intuition should be the master and logic should be the servant. And that's because that right brain is your intuition. It's spiritual. It's creativity. It's thoughts never thought before. This is very deep. What the right brain is, it's the mind of genius. It's ideas never thought before. And when we mature, they start to work together. The logical mind keeping accurate track of things instead of needing to lie so it's right and it looks right. That's all immature right brain. Mature right brain is serious. It does not lie, keeps track of facts. And the intuitive mind is given room by our desire, our need, our question, our heartfelt feelings to bring answers, solutions, and ideas that are creative and that have never been before.
That's part of our imagination then,
is
that
totally
right?
It totally comes through imagination. The thing that has messed up our decision by the linear mind about imagination, well, imagination is fake, so it doesn't buy it. But all genius, all spiritual experience, all creativity that is unique and powerful, all comes by imagination. The imagination mind is the mind that is the vehicle. And the problem we have with it is that we are so attached to words and logic. One of the reasons we collectively don't like astrology in the scientific arena, pretty much, although it's getting more and more popular, the reason we didn't like it is because we couldn't see how it could possibly work. It doesn't make sense. It can't work. It's not logical. Well, it's not logical. That's not what it is. It's intuitive. It's acausal. It brings information that doesn't have the same kind of limitation in box. It's bigger. The thing that we haven't realized is that intuition and that kind of thinking is bigger than logic can hold. Logic is little, small, this, that, the other way, up, down, yes, no. But it is important. It's very important we keep accurate track of things. Honest, accurate track of things, not made up stories so we look right and win, but really keeping accurate track of things. So the intuitive mind is the mind of genius. And you know, the word genius comes from Genesis, and it's the first book in the Bible. The word Genesis means creation. And Genesis and genius are out of nothing something.
And I'm thinking, Patricia, as you talk about this, you're talking about, like, it's our thinking need not be an either or, this or that,
yes,
just one or the other, that teeter-totter. But it then, if it's not going to be either or, we're going to have to learn how to hold paradox.
Yes, and non-duality thinking.
And yes, so what would you say that...
Well, that's my whole philosophy. That's the philosophy. And I started teaching 50 years ago in workshops. I have had the premonitions for 50 years, but I knew I had to go gently because the linear mind gets freaked out and it is very judgmental and it is black and white thinking and it wants to be right above all things. And so it doesn't tolerate too much. And what I was teaching then was left brain and right brain because it was a perfect metaphor as well as factual reality. It's not quite that simple, but there's a lot of powerful reality in it. And I knew, I felt the intuitive mind. I called it my soft mind. It was where I let something come to me. And that's how I came to the other kind of thinking, and that the two hemispheres were young and immature, and they thought kind of either or. And the linear mind particularly would get freaked out if things were either right or wrong. It didn't realize that its great maturity and power was the intelligence to keep track of many points of view.
So that's the paradox. That's,
yes,
that's that wider lens, right?
Hey, that's right. And the consciousness beyond duality takes you out of simplistic thinking. The only enemy we have in our evolutionary machinations here is not politics, is not religion, not all the normal scapegoats where we put this kind of thinking. That's true. But it's not those categories that are the problem. It's the style of thinking that is the problem. When you think either or, black or white, you have eliminated, you have one pole and the other pole, and everything in between is almost thrown away. This is this way, and the opposite is this. So it's right, and this is wrong. Well, reality is there's billions of things in between. Great creativity, new solutions, new vision, overview, understanding, intuitional cascades of knowledge can come in. And we block it all, striving to be right. I had a very good friend. She passed away not too long ago, actually. I loved her so much. And she used to come to my workshops for 50 years. And she said, you know, I tried to think about you, Patricia. What is it I like so much about you? And she says, and then it struck me, you're sane. But what she told me when I was telling her about this black and white thinking and how we hate to be wrong, she said, oh, I can't stand it. I hate to be wrong. You know, I'd almost rather die than be wrong. And I said, that's the psychological energy between immature linear thinking about right, wrong. This is why people get so polarized, go to war, cannot have any room or compassion for some other point of view because they are stuck in this either or-ness. And the whole point of my philosophy is that we are evolving to a consciousness beyond duality, bigger than either or, bigger than logic can hold. And for that to happen, we have to give the intuitive mind a chance to blossom, to be mystical, to make music, to create art, to do things never done before, to resonate with love as the inspiration for a new thought. And then the linear mind gives up needing to be right But love's keeping honest track of things, little experiences that happen for the intuitive mind. Well, who knows why that happened, but I'll keep track of it. So we share those thoughts. We share after, you know, death experiences. We share healing. We share intuition and about one another. We invent new means to create environmental solutions and not pollute the earth anymore. We use our intuitional and logic mind together in service of each other. This is the evolutionary leap. This is the new style of consciousness. And it always confronts polarity and either-or thinking with compassion. And it always asks a gentle question. It's a lot like Jesus. They wanted to stone this woman, you know, because she was found in bed with somebody else. They wanted to get the stones and kill her. And he said, well, you know, he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. He always had this way of bringing it around to a bigger compassion, a bigger understanding that punishment is not the goal. Control, especially, is not the goal. And, you know, one of the things about Jesus that's very significant is that he was the last great teacher in the time of great polarization. The Middle East is still very polarized, still. But at that time, he was so unique in that he thought beyond duality and he thought love. And one of my very favorite quotes in the whole world is he said, I give you but one commandment, and that is that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So this is the solution. Interestingly, I'm going to rush right to the end of this philosophy. One is becoming conscious that our brains are changing, that our intuition and logical mind are expanding and being more relaxed, and have more of an overview, and they listen to each other more easily. But also, the energetic power, emotional power, psychological energy that allows us to expand to a consciousness beyond duality is always love. And we've known this forever. I mean, Plato, before Christ, and people, you know, the Upanishads, everybody's been saying forever that love is the transforming power. And we act like, oh, yeah, that's nice, you know, or everybody says that, yeah, yeah. We just don't realize that whenever you're hurting, whenever someone's in your presence who's hurting, whenever somebody's fearful or very angry because they're fearful, if you move to the compassionate feeling of love for them, they stop feeling that. They shift, sometimes greatly, sometimes just a little, but you can't hate in the face of genuine love. It's a power. It is not just a nice idea or a thing we should talk about like that. It is a psychological capacity of entering another realm of perception that is a direct experience of heaven, God, healing, spirituality, whatever way you want it, all the many names we have, but it's a very real thing, and it is love. And I've done family counseling, I've been done relationship stuff with people, I've been caught in scenes where there's people with guns going to shoot each other. I've been in Spain, in Mexico, and in the Soviet Union. I've been 17 times. Every time I would hit that polarized place, I'd just start sending the love, and everybody would kind of go, oh, and they would change. And people, the Russians used to say, oh, our dear Patricia, she's coming to visit us. Because when they would fight, they couldn't do it with me there because I loved them both so much. They didn't want to fight. And I did the same kind of thing with the Israeli and Palestinian in the United Nations. There was a big conference of women spiritual teachers of the world. And there was an Israeli one and a Palestinian one, and from every country in the world. And I was there as well. But everywhere, any time the group got together, they would start arguing. And how they always argue is, one would say, well, you did this. And then the other one said, yeah, but you did this. And they just kept talking about what the other one did, drive everybody crazy. So I said, come to my room. We'll do a thing, see what happens. And they said, oh, you know, it can't work. And I said, well, may not. You know, it's true, may not. But we could try. And so what happened was, after just about almost 3 hours of talking, it really moved. It really changed. They both changed. And they both said to me privately, separately, you know, something like this could work. If we had someone like you we could trust. And that made me realize how much love is about trust.
Ah.
Because if you really love someone, they feel it and they trust you. And if you love them sort of, but not all the way, or not here or not there, then they sort of trust you, but they don't. But if you actually really love them and you wish them well with all your being, they feel it. And that's the place and space where we can bring in new thought and come to new solutions, because we are killing the planet. We're poisoning the earth, the water, the air. We're poisoning our children. We are being insane. We're thinking money is more important than anything else, when nothing, it's just a tool for sorting things. It's not anything. And that matters is our goodwill for one another and our love for one another.
But there is a tendency,
yes,
for humankind to want to put the authority outside of ourselves. We are living in a torrent of information that is exacerbating the idea of despair, because it's not going our way and we can't control it. And we want somebody to tell us how it's going to be. And so we put all of our eggs in the basket of an authority, whether it's a spiritual authority or a political or family, right, or whatever it is.
The most important thing is we need to start telling the truth. When people don't tell the truth because they want to be right, the common ground gets broken. You can't trust somebody who lies to you. So this is one of the big key issues that politics, religion, and it's all sides of this equation. If people tend to lie where they think they win a point if they do that. Sometimes it's out of fear for survival, you know, so you got to cut people a break on that one. But the truth is that we've gotten attached to being right, even when we're not. And we like to sort things black and white that way. That's what I call old style thinking. And the problem that this old style thinking gives us as we try to break through to this evolutionary leap is that it's so fearful of being wrong. It needs to control other people, the outcome of things, power over others. So the fundamental error is we don't trust heaven. We don't trust reality. We don't trust God. We don't trust goodness. We don't trust truth. We don't trust kindness. We don't trust the things that are trustworthy. When we shift, we choose it, even a little tiny increment in our own life, to be serious about your self-care and love and trusting your own self-actualization, forgiving yourself for when you exaggerated something or you made something up because you needed to win. When you forgive yourself, I don't mean go around mea culpa every minute. It's not that. That's not necessary. It's just enough to stop doing that in every moment that you can. And you won't do it every moment. You won't stop it every moment. But if you commit to stopping it, you will stop it a lot of the time. And this creates an energetic shift, not only inside yourself, which is hugely transformative and grounding. It is a frequency that goes out into the world, and people have a greater time lying in front of you. People have a great deal of trouble lying in front of me. And the reason is I love them. I know how powerful the truth is. And I really like us to get to the part that's true because it helps us.
Right. You know, this reminds me that I know that I've heard you say in years past, it is better to do what is good than what is right.
Yeah. And it's more powerful.
It's more powerful.
Than to be right. The reason why it's more power is just what we're saying. It's more powerful to be good because it's an energetic power that comes from the harmony of the universe. It comes from heaven. It comes from a bigger truth than we have words for. It's a truth. It's real. It's how, and it's so huge and it's so complex. We're having trouble. We want to keep it simple. We want it black and white. We want it this or that. You know, it reminds me a quote of a Niels Bohr. He said he was studying space, outer space, and a reporter asked him, "What is outer space like?" And he said, "Oh, it's stranger than you think." And then he paused and he said, "No, it's stranger than you can think."
Oh, powerful.
This is the key piece. We are very small-minded. We do not know so much, and we don't know how much we don't know. And the gateway into the more that makes us healthy, that makes us creative, that brings us solutions never dreamed of, the thing that makes us live and create in a harmony, not by make nice that you got to do a Sig Heil, you know, you got to follow the rules, you got to join some club, some party. No. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is do the best you can in every living moment. And consider it when you don't know what to do. Take some time and think about it and say, well, since I don't really quite know what to do, and in the world as it is, it's complicated, it's a little tricky, maybe I can't just say the whole truth, but what could I do that's wholesome here? What could I do that's kind, even if it's just limited? So what you're doing then is taking charge of your own intelligence, your own brain, your own intuition, your own honesty, your own logic. And you're saying, I'm looking at this. What's the kindest thing I can generate here? This is the power of being a human.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Patricia Sun. And I'd like to tell you, you can be in touch with her and you can know more about the fullness of what her thoughts are and her philosophy and all the gifts she has to bring to you on her website. Go to patriciasun.com. And she spells her last name S-U-N, like the sun that shines on us, patriciasun.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. And I've known Patricia now for 50 years, and we've been having these conversations throughout that time. And I'd